We're ready, Mr. State.
Time is 2:25, October 8th, and we are here to hear appeal OPA PA 09003. The appellant is Pacific Guam Pacific Enterprises, represented by Mr. Long Songen, pro se, appealing pro se, and the Guam Power Authority is represented by Mr. Graham Botha, attorney. And before we start, let me just explain that the proceedings will be a initial statement by the appellant, if he wishes to proceed in that way, a initial statement, an opening statement they're called formally, by Mr. Botha, if he wishes. Then appellant, Mr. Longsonen, will present his case in chief with evidence, calling witnesses if he wishes. And then the appellee, Guam Power Authority, will present their case in chief, calling witnesses and presenting documentary evidence or whatever evidence they may wish to present. Then there will be an opportunity for, am I going too fast? Okay. Then there will be an opportunity for Mr. Longsonen to do a rebuttal argument, and an opportunity then for Mr. Botha to make a reply. And that's the normal order of proceeding in such administrative procedures as we're going through now. The initial opening statement would be not so much a detailed presentation, but it would be a summary of the evidence that you plan to present. Is that clear to everyone? All right.
Administrative matter. I checked with the board secretary of GPA, and at the last hearing I was unclear. I just wanted to make sure I didn't misspeak as to the motion that had been filed from Mr. Longsonen. It was never served on GPA. In any form, fashion, facts, or otherwise. So that was why I was quite a bit surprised when I noticed it on the calendar. And similarly, the procurement appeal matters that were done here were never served on GPA. Now those, once I realized that, I did download them from the OPA website.
All right.
But just as a procedural matter. Otherwise, I certainly would have responded to that motion in writing. Now,
yes.
As it turns out, that's moot because there was a, there was a decision rendered anyways, but
yes.
Normally, be my procedure, and obviously be prudent to follow written response. So perhaps it was unclear as to how the service was to be made, but I would note that as far as GPA materials, those were personally served on Mr. Lunsong and at his office. So it's just unfortunate, it wasn't done otherwise. But anyways, it appears everybody has the materials now, so I guess, in the long run, it doesn't really matter.
As you indicated, the motion was denied by Mr. Longsong and I, and we did mention at the hearing, if you'll recall, that it should be served on you.
Right. And I just didn't want to say that somehow I didn't have it, but I did check with the staff there, and certainly where I am, the board secretary said she didn't have it, and so I subsequently downloaded it, and that's fine.
Okay.
But anyways, it seems we all have it, but.
All right. It's noted for the record. We are allowing a great deal of latitude because of the circumstances. But it's noted for the record, and you are correct to bring that up. Yes, Mr.
Your Honor, it was delivered to their office, even stamped by a GPA, that motion that was served to them, and even the documents. On the September hearing requirement that we need to provide and serve to them was also been provided to GPA. And GPA was the one that did not serve me copies of Volume 1 and Volume 2 until I notified him personally in the September 17 hearing. Then after 2 days, I received the copy. And, Your Honor, the GPA counsel did not make any motion that the hearing requirement was specified, and he did not make any opposition to my motion.
Yes, sir. What we have here is in fact, information has been conveyed, a de facto rendering of all this information to everybody. And so I think that what we'll go by is there was a posting on the web which anybody could have downloaded, and if there was a neglect to do this particular service, that's a neglect which does not impact on the substance of this case, because everybody is in fact notified anyway.
For the record, my name is Doris Brooks, the public auditor. Mr. Montoya, Mr. Stick said we're giving you a lot of latitude. Procedurally, it is the appellant's requirement to serve the other side, and likewise, the purchasing agency, whatever information they give to us, they're required to give to the appellant. So it's the responsibility of both parties to ensure that the other party has that responsibility, to ensure that the documentation is given. But as Mr. Stake said, somehow we both eventually got, both sides got all of the information, the same information.
All right. Are we ready to proceed? Is everyone ready to proceed? All right. Do you wish to present an opening statement, Mr. Lonsdale?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
I'm the president of the company, Grand Pacific Enterprise.
For the record, you are considered under oath, Mr. Lanzani. Do you have the? Okay, sure. I'm sorry, we do have somebody to swear you.
Mr. Lanzani, please stand, because you're serving as your attorney and from the office of the Secretary of State. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. And please identify yourself for the record.
Your Honor, my name is Fredfrey Linsangan. I'm the president of Grand Pacific Enterprise, Inc. And I have done business with GPA since early 1990, not 2002 as it's specified by the counsel in his hearing brief.
Okay.
And likewise, my company had done businesses with different government agency and private contractors. My company has a lot of patients, and so do I. You know, if we were deprived of our right to obtain a delivery extension, and if you're deprived for so many times, then I have to exercise my civic responsibility. That's why I'm protesting, Your Honor, because the administration is not in agreement with the statutes, terms and conditions, and regulation by the administration of GPA. And it's very important that this case be heard. And thank you very much for the Public Auditor's Office for accommodating my protest. And now we're in the final conclusion, because it is relevant to the community of Guam, to the people of Guam, as is specified in Section 5001, is to provide increased economy in territorial activities and to maximize the purchasing value of public funds of the territory. You know, if you discourage vendors or a few vendors, the one that will lose will be the government. You know, as a vendor, my company has saved the government of Guam more than $1 million in just bidding alone. and the cost for quotation. It means that we provided them the best price, the best value for their money. And without our participation and other vendors, of course, they won't be getting the best value for their money. And it is significant because this could lead to lower power rates because of the savings. You know, in fact, in one bidding alone, we saved GWA $150,000 for the water meter bidding, my company. The Memorial, $30,000. Department of Correction, $25,000. Just for one bidding alone. Can you imagine that? You know, and we've been doing business for almost 21 years. That's why, Your Honor, this case is, though the money is very small in amount, it's very relevant, you know, to the community. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Belford, do you wish to present an opening?
I do, thank you. I think we sort of filed the things that are relevant to this thing, but I'd just like to highlight a couple of them first. In determining which claims, and I'll call this a claim, it may not have been properly entailed, but first of all, we need to look at the Government Claims Act, and there are certain limitations contained in that, and one of the first limitations is that under Section 6106, all claims must be filed within 18 months from the date the claim arose. Then, you know, in looking at 5GCA, I'm sorry, let me give one to, I'll give one to everybody.
Statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations. And I will note that there are no exceptions to that. And in fact, the statute is quite clear as it was amended not too long ago, and it says that all agencies' claims are covered, including GPA, public corporations, and specifically mentions GPA. So in other words, this is a claim. Let's be quite frank with that. I mean, this is not the normal appeal that would come before the Office of Public Auditor. In other words, it's not a bid. We make an award, notice of award goes out, bidder files the complaint. That's simply not what this is, okay? And in fact, of all the invoices that were listed on there, all of them except with the exception of one is what's called a request for quote, which is anything under $15,000. Okay, and there was one bid that was there. Okay, and in addressing that, there is one indication that somehow there's some improper action taken with regard to a bid bond. Well, actually, if we look at the record, and the record I think is fairly complete on both sides. I mean, most of Mr. Lunsung's stuff is, if not all of it, is covered on the GPA procurement record. And in actuality, Mr. Lunsung did not submit a bid bond. He submitted a cashier's check in lieu of a bid bond. So it's actually incorrect to qualify that as a bid bond. In a bid, you can either submit a bid bond, cashier's check, or cash. I mean, and so he exercises option to submit a cashier's check. And that was done. Now, in determining the liquidated damages clause, on all the requests for quotes and the bid, the section of the procurement law is quoted on not only the procurement order, but on the request for quotes as well as the invitation for bid. And it provides for liquidated damages in the event of untimely delivery. And I don't think there's any dispute in these matters but that the delivery was untimely. Now, no doubt, GPE will claim that they had an excuse why that delivery was untimely. And if we look to the appropriate section, there is a section in the GAR that deals with reasons for untimely delivery and those that are excusable. One of them is, as cited in a certain song, is act of God. Well, unfortunately, if we apply the act of God excuse for non-performance or delayed performance in every case, we'd never have any materials available to us. In fact, what it reads is that the contractor has to notify the procurement officer within 15 days after the cause of delay, and the failure arises out of such causes as acts of God, acts of the public enemy, acts of territory, government entities, fires, floods, epidemics, strikes, labor disputes, etc. Merely submitting a statement from a vendor or a middleman that delivery is going to be late, we have no reason as to why that is. Is the factory unable to produce it? Is it a delay on the part of the vendor in ordering it? But, you know, the requests for quotes are quite simple.
It says 6 to 8 weeks or 8 to 10 weeks, ARO. In other words, that's the delivery date. Delivery date is clear from the beginning. If the vendor orders it, places an order week one, and then in week three gets a notice back that they can't meet delivery date, then the vendor needs to come to GPA and tell us there's a reason for that, and then we'll evaluate that and determine if that's an appropriate reason. However, the pattern is quite clear that the vendor has waited, if not until the delivery date, perhaps the day before to be charitable, and then upon receiving a notice of default from GPA, which gives 10 days to cure, then the vendor has given us a statement from someone saying, sorry, we can't meet the delivery date. Well, that's not the way the procedure is supposed to work, and so, in accordance with the rules, GPA has imposed liquidated damages. Now, I don't think anywhere that there's any dispute that, I mean, there's no dispute, at least in any writing that I've seen, that as to the calculation of liquidated damages, the dispute is merely that liquidated damages were imposed and that somehow GPA has done that in an unfair and inappropriate manner. And that's simply not correct. I mean, we'll have the chief procurement officer for GPA come in, as well as the buyer supervisor, and put forth the method in which that's calculated, and the fact that GPA does that to all vendors if they're late. I mean, we are required under the code to make sure that the vendors deliver in time. I mean, we need supplies, we need the little gadgets and the little widgets that Mr. Lumsong and other vendors deliver. We need them in our warehouse so that when something happens, we go out and we take them out of the warehouse and we use them. I mean, if the safety stock falls low and then they're not available because the vendor hasn't delivered, then the code allows us to apply liquidated damages, and hopefully the vendor would in the future deliver in a timely fashion. And unfortunately, that doesn't appear to have been the case. I mean, I certainly wasn't aware, nor was our procurement folks, that Mr. Lozongan has in fact dealt with GPA since 1990. To me, that's even more egregious. Certainly, I mean, you know, the rules have been around, and to my knowledge, haven't changed any. The procurement rules have been the same for the last 15 or 20 years. There's nothing new about it. Whether GPA has been as demanding and in demanding untimely forms, I don't know. And I'm not even sure the folks that will testify today know what happened 20 years ago. But all I can say is that since I've been with them, I mean, they have tried to ensure the vendors deliver in a timely fashion. I believe it's, you know, clear, at least according to our witnesses, that we've tried to do that. You know, certainly we're required to deliver to the lowest responsible and responsive bidder, which means delivering in a timely fashion. And so we would submit that, you know, certainly the claim is limited by the Government Claims Act, and that GPA has applied its liquidated damages clause in a fair and just manner.
Thank you. For purposes of clarification, there is a distinction between a contract dispute and a government claim. And what we're proceeding here with is a contract dispute. When it goes back, if there is some problem after that, it becomes a government claim. Right. So everybody understands. Are you ready, sir, to present your case in chief?
Yes, Your Honor.
What I would like to do is, when we have the exhibits presented, that we would have the appellant exhibits marked A through Z, and the appellee's exhibits marked numerically. That way we can distinguish between who's submitting what when we got them together. In other words, appellant's exhibit A, appellant's exhibit B, and then do we have somebody, is the clerk, are you prepared to mark the exhibits? If not, I can mark them.
I'll mark them for you.
Okay. Proceed, Mr.
Your Honor, the Government Claims Act only specified the money that is owed by the government or to the government, but it does not cover my case because the money that I'm disputing is my company's money. How would you define claim? Claim is to assert or to declare that the money is government's money, to affirm that the money, I don't have to affirm that the money is government or I'm disputing the money. There's no dispute that the money is owned by GPE and it was illegally deducted by GPA because of misadministration. It's just as simple as that. There's an ambiguity here, Your Honor, because the Government Claims Act only covers those instances that is owed by the government or to the government. It is not clearly defined.
What we're concerned with here, just for purposes of illumination, is we're concerned with whether the contract was properly administered. That's what we're really concerned with. So, according to the terms of the contract.
Okay, Your Honor. The GPA's mindset is one track, Your Honor. There's a consistent method, in regardless of your rationale or your reasonable cause, asking for delivery extension as specified by the statutes. You know, their decision is only one. As if you're talking to the wall. Their answer is denied. You know, out of 9 purchase orders, I have done numerous business with GPA, and only 9 I'm contesting because there was a reasonable cause for late delivery. And the Procurement Act was enacted to favor both parties, not only GPA. In his hearing brief, in his facts, all he specified here is the law favoring GPA. But he did not specify how about the law that's favoring both parties, like vendors and contractors. Your Honor, that's why I'm invoking on the limited terms and conditions as specified in the bid, that all I need is a letter from the manufacturer in order for me to receive the delivery extension. Second is the act of God, as specified in 2 GAR. So the 15 days that he mentioned only applies to default, Your Honor. Then they can issue the notice of default if I did not notify them within 15 days. But for excuse for non-performance, I can resort to the act of God. Third, Your Honor, the notice of default, I believe, there's a misconception on the part of the counsel. He was always specifying in his hearing arguments that I only request for delivery extension once I receive the notice of default. Of course, it is clearly defined in the notice of default that they're giving me the right to cure and to secure a delivery extension. Therefore, I will respond to them requesting them a delivery extension with my reasonable cost. It's just as simple as that. You know?
Thank you, sir.
And in fact, Your Honor, I have a very compelling argument here about my issue that their mindset is one track on my exhibit J, Your Honor. My correspondences between myself and GPA. We were late on the delivery, Your Honor. We knew that we were late, that's why we requested for an extension. And what I got from GPA is denial. They're denying my request for extension. Your Honor, every time we request for an extension, we go from the factory. I have an office in Oregon that can go direct with the manufacturer. That's why we can compete with bidding, Your Honor. And then when I received that denial, Your Honor, what I did is I gave them a letter that if this is the case, then just cancel the purchase order. And then what did they did? The next day, they approved my request for extension, Your Honor. So this is a very compelling argument. It's like what I said, that they won't grant my delivery extension, and regardless of my cost.
These, Mr. Lanzana, for purpose of clarity, these are the letters that you submitted that are already in the record. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, Your Honor.
All right. All right. If they're already in the record, then perhaps we can keep things better organized by simply you refer to the record as a document which you've submitted in the record. Would that be possible for you? If not, we can just do it the way we initially.
Can you just a little bit, John? I was thinking.
Okay. What I'm saying is, if you're referring, I believe you're referring to exhibits which you've already submitted in mm-hmm. the record and which we already have in all of our notebooks. If you would just refer to which exhibit you're speaking in the notebook. Do you have your notebook before you?
Yes.
Okay.
All the exhibits.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, Your Honor. All my all the purchase orders in Exhibit C to I are covered by the statute that allow me to seek delivery extension. Now, I would like to rebut his understanding about the bid bank. It is very wrong on that, because it's again clearly defined in Section 11, Your Honor, Exhibit B, that bidder is required to submit a bid guarantee bond or standby irrevocable letter of credit or certified text or cashier's check in the same bid envelope to be held by the government. You know, a bid guarantee bond or therefore, this guarantee bond could be letter of credit, certified check, or cashier's check. That's why we, Your Honor, we provided cashier's check. And that's only one of the many cashier's checks that we provided. In fact, almost close to 100,000 cashier's checks was provided to GPA, and all of that were deposited. You know, Your Honor, that's a very serious violation. Why we have to use my money? And then when I need the money, I have to wait for 3 weeks for them to release it, and they will give me the GPA check. And this just reflects that there's problem with their misunderstanding of the, you know, they need help on this on understanding the instructions, the interpretation of the statutes or terms and conditions. Because I'm not a creditor of GPA, why do you have to deposit my bin ban? You know, they're keeping it for almost 3 months.
May I ask whether that was a bid bond or a performance bond?
Yes, a bid bond. Yeah,
clearly it was not. It's a cashier's check. It's in both his ones, which I've numbered for reference, and I mean ours as well.
For purposes of clarification, he is interchanging the words, which we know in fact it's they're not interchangeable, but he submitted a cashier's check. That's what he said. And we know it to be a cashier's check. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Mr. both of you have access. You're following.
Well, I mean, it's kind of jumping around. I mean, the way I did it is he had what was filed, I guess. He just called it a witness himself in the exhibits list, and so this one was filed September 21st. So all I did was number it sequentially, 72 pages, and I think that's what it was on the website or whatever. I'm assuming he's going down those, and he's not going down them in line. But
we'll go back and refer to it as Appellant's Exhibit 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, and that's probably the best way to keep track of it.
Yeah, I think he's going back and forth. Apparently on some of them he's listed a letter on those or whatever. I mean,
as long as you're able to keep track of it, and you have all the documents.
I believe I do, yes. I mean, so.
Your Honor, also on the notice of default, it is also specified there about the liquidated damage. You know, and in the hearing brief of the legal counsel of GPA, he specified that all of the vendors that's being issued with notice of default with the liquidated damage provision are being liquidated. And uh, I I strongly disagree with that, Your Honor, because I knew some vendors that received the notice of delivery default, and what they did is talk to their lawyer. It was not Mr. Bota at the time, and the liquidated damage was waived. In fact, Your Honor, if I will invoke on the Freedom of Information Act, if I will require or request to them all of their records in regards to notice of default with liquidated damage provision, for sure, 100%, that you will discover that some vendors were not liquidated, Your Honor.
And for sure, I'd note that none of those witnesses are here to testify today.
Let's restrict our comments to react at this point. Mr. Solanzane, do you have witnesses to present?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Except your own testimony.
Except, Your Honor, because, you know, the GPA, yes, other government agency needs to adhere to the procurement record system as specified by law. And your office had requested to them to provide all of the documents, you know, all of the correspondences in procurement record between me and GPA, and I noticed that there's some letters that are missing, especially with the letter with the then buyer supply administrator Tom Borja, who was in the supply administrator. But in his letter that is denying my request, he acknowledged that he received my request for delivery extension, as and it is in article in exhibit Philip I, Your Honor. The letter of Mr. Borja to me, that he acknowledged this letter. Yeah. And Your Honor, if GPA have only grant me an extension and I'm still late, then I don't have to protest. You know, just like what I said from the start, the law is fair to both parties, not only with GPA. And I'm invoking on those statutes and provisions that mandated or allowed me to seek a delivery extension.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Do you have anything further, sir?
Let me scrutinize this notice of default, Your Honor.
Yes, sir. Take your time.
This is a standard letter of GPA, and also the response also is a standard. You know, it's a consistent pattern or method. The notice of default, Your Honor, it is specified there to cure and secure a delivery extension, or they might, you know, they might look for another vendor that I will not provide. But if you're for 10 days, no, but if, sometimes I'm late for, if I'm late for 20 days, 12 days, 30 days, 2 months, they're still not doing anything. And they just gonna wait for my delivery, regardless of the day. And then their reason for not allowing my request for extension is that due to urgency of items, due to urgency of items. How would you justify that it's urgent when you're not doing anything but to still wait for my delivery? That's a big question mark, Your Honor. So therefore, because the law also specifies integrity, and there's no integrity on their part for not executing or implementing that default. Because they knew that GPE, my company, is providing them the best price. We're the reputable manufacturer, and maybe the best fastest time also. Because they're just sitting down there and, you know, and waiting for my delivery. And then, we will deny you because the item is urgent. It is unacceptable, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. Anything further?
I wait for...
You'll have a chance to give a rebuttal after he presents his argument. Mr. Gosa, are you ready to proceed?
Okay. Yeah, I can go ahead and call my first witness, and then we'll finish. I guess we can finish with Mr. Insomnia.
Do you wish to cross-examine Mr. Insomnia as a witness? Or?
Well, yeah, I would. Okay. Do you want to do that first? I mean, I can wait. It doesn't matter.
We'll wait until you present your...
Okay.
You're direct, unless... Let me answer this. I think the answers will both.